Wow, welcome everybody to RP Grinders episode 382. I am your host, Frank Francis,
super fart,
alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosty One himself. The gang is all back this week. Gentlemen, how are you? Anybody? Okay. Are we on a Batman versus Superman hangover?
Are we on the air yet?
Yeah, what's going on the air.
An imaginary Jew had a bad day today, apparently.
Yeah. Well, Gary Shandling did die today, so that there's that.
Yesterday, that was shitty.
Yeah. Was it yesterday? I was talking about some other imaginary Jew.
Dungeon Buster just joined.
Gary Shandling is not imaginary.
I know.
Well, kind of is now. But
yeah, exactly. Dungeon Buster just joined. Welcome on in, Dungeon Buster. We got a lively chat. SMT's in there. Kazan is in there. So welcome on, everybody. MXT's in there. It's going to be a fun show today. Hopefully we won't get too much into Batman versus Superman. We had a lively chat before we got on the air about the movie. Hopefully no spoilers. I'm not going to spoil it for you guys later, but I'm sure we'll get a little bit into it. So, gentlemen, how was your week? We'll start with you, Eric.
It was all right, I guess. No. We had a weather swing from yesterday to today where it was like 75 degrees, and then it got like the 30.
Yeah, we kind of
started snowing.
Yeah, we kind
of
had
that's Ohio weather.
I'm feeling all fucked up now because of it.
That's what I was trying to say when we were talking about climate change. Like, it's always like that in Ohio. Like, the rest of the world's catching up to us now. Mm. Like, one day it's 30 degrees, the next day it's 80 degrees. Just the way it's always been here.
Yeah. We kind of had that same type of shift here, except we got like 2 feet of snow. It was like the biggest blizzard.
Ooh, yeah, it's hard down in the news. Ouch, dude.
It sucked. It really sucked.
So we've just gone to Stinko's right away then, right?
Yeah, pretty
much. There's a
fan main.
Skipped
everything else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I haven't seen it yet, but I hear it's not that great either.
Yeah. Mug, how about your week, man? How was your week?
Not too bad.
Not too bad?
Fantastic,
cool.
But I'm getting by.
Right on. All right, well, let's get into news, guys. We don't have a ton of news, which is refreshing. Eric, let's start with you.
I did fail to put more news articles in this week, but I guess I could save it for next week because there might not be as much next week either.
Yeah, that's fine, man. We could use a light news week. So,
well, we're going into that time of the year, you know, the quiet time right before they start going into E3, like April, basically. And then, like, beginning of May, we're going to start hearing whispers.
There's like a handful of games coming out in April, and then there'll probably be nothing until June.
Yeah.
At the beginning of May, we're going to start hearing like whispers of E3, and by the end of the month, it's just going to be full blown. Like, you know, we're going to have news articles about the asshole, and then, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we do this every year, guys. Like, that's the way it is. You know, it's just kind of that time. All right,
like Superman, we got stuff coming out our asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
But instead of superpowers, you know,
Superman and super hibernate.
Yeah, exactly. Gripper just joined.
Well, he apparently did when Doomsday punched
that's
him in the face.
That's a good point. Yeah. When Superman takes a super shit, I'm like, I feel bad for like the sewage workers who've got to take care of that. You know?
Actually, Neil deGrasse Tyson wonders whether or not he has a super digestive system.
Ooh, by the way, Neil deGrasse Tyson was in the new Batman versus Superman movie, so there's a little bit to talk about.
He was in the trailer, so he was not in the first trailer, so it's not really a surprise.
Yeah. All right, Gripper's in chat. What's up, Gripper? Eric, let's start with the first news story, man.
First news story is from Silly String Era. It says, confess your secret love and visual novel One Last Chance. And they didn't capitalize the L there. Oh, man.
Bastards.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a visual novel that is working its way through Steam Greenlight and asks players if they have any memories of high school love that they never confessed to, and asking them to come on a journey to where they can take a chance and make those connections that they missed so long ago.
Yeah.
It's inspired by romance movies like those of Nancy Meyers and Richard Linklater.
Mm-hmm.
Linklater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who either of those people are.
Romance.
Maybe they mean something to other people.
Yeah. Big time romance novelist. I think Nancy Meyer did 50 Shades of Grey. So.
Mm. Anyways, it's in Massachusetts, and it has a fully voice-acted story. That's uncommon with Western visual novels at this point.
Mm.
But it says that it offers players the opportunity to explore missed connections between potential lovers making various decisions that lead to one of its six endings. Doesn't sound like a very long game, though.
Yeah. When's it going to be released, Eric?
Sometime in April. It doesn't have an back date, so whenever they can get it on there, I guess.
So, Mug's favorite genre, another one of those visual novels on its way in April. So, there you go.
Yeah, you know me. I love them.
Was that like a joke or something?
Yeah, exactly. It was a joke. No, all right.
It's not a joke. Jokes are funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was that then? Like an awkward moment, maybe?
You suck. You guys suck. All right, Mug, next story. Speaking of sucking, Mug.
Okay, that was kind of funny.
Coming to us live from Destructoid. It's about Keen, a Zelda-inspired puzzler.
Yeah. Publisher.
During GDC, I met with a couple of lovely Brazilian gents from Cat Nigiri, which is a studio whose logo is a kawaii-looking kitty draped under a slab of raw fish. And nigiri is a type of sushi. The duo showing off its Commanderless Keen, a Zelda-inspired game that's basically one big icy floor sliding puzzle, which sounds terrible. Studio founder Kaya Lopez.
How's that Zelda at all?
What?
Anyway, studio founder Kaya Lopez explained how Cat Nigiri's previous work on a handful of mobile games, Kitty Kitchen and Pope Man, we wanted to do. Yeah, not what we wanted to do. We want to do better. There are some realities to face when you live in a country where a mix of poverty and import laws make piracy commonplace, and paying for games is the exception. Hence a stab at the North American market with what has been, so far, a well-received campaign on Steam Greenlight. That kind of recognition when you've been working on a game in relative isolation, Lopez says, was welcomed and well-reasoned. When I played, Keen is a complete pastiche, but not a bad idea. Okay, this is like unsurprisingly long. It's a fusion of puzzle and action. It's part Zelda-like dungeon exploring and part turn-based combat.
Yeah.
Single-screen puzzle layouts and let's see.
Yeah,
these screens become pieces of larger. Yeah, it's like pieces of larger connected dungeons, not unlike the original Legend of Zelda. All right, yeah, it doesn't look that interesting, or it doesn't sound that interesting.
Yeah, I give people in countries like that a lot of credit for trying to do something, and maybe they can forge their way and you know become a good developer. But when your developer is saying things like not what we wanted to do, we want to do better. That does not bode well for a game. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have confidence in your game and say it's the greatest thing ever. Like,
I don't think he's talking about the past games they did.
I guess.
Yeah, it's like he was talking about their stuff in the mobile space. I'm like, yeah, we can keep doing that, but we want to do something bigger and better.
Well, hopefully. I mean, from the preview, it looks decent, but it's not. It's not going to win them any awards or anything. Like it's like what other people
start somewhere, I guess.
Yeah, it's like what other people have been doing for like years. So come on. Let's move on to the next story, Breakman.
Coming to us live from Destructoid, Yakuza 0 is coming west in early 2017. In both physical and digital formats, Yakuza Zero is coming to Western shores in early 2017. So, hey, we don't usually get the Yakuza game. So, hey, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
The prequel is set in the 1980s and lets players see what Kiryu and Majima's lives were like as foot soldiers, like as members of the Foot Clan, long before they became renowned Yakuza. While the title was released on both PlayStation 3 and 4, when it came to Japan last March, Sega only plans to publish the game on PS4 in Western territories, not a surprise.
PS3's dead in the water now.
Yeah.
I think Atlas is like the only company supporting the console, besides XSEED, which is mainly just for Cold Steel 3 and 2. We don't know the platforms for 3, but it's probably also going to be a PS3 game.
Sega also wants to know wants you to know that unlike Yakuza 5, this entry is being localized 100% as Sega and as a Sega initiative. Well, okay, good for them.
PlayStation, meaning Sony's not giving them funding.
Right. And speaking of Yakuza 5, it is currently on sale at a 25% discount now, $30 through April 5th.
Yeah. And apparently it's really good. This Yakuza is really good. So it's worth checking out. You know, we've talked
about the sales of Zero lead to them announcing Kiwami, because I'd like to play the original with a better graphics engine and better gameplay.
Yeah. Gripper says he's excited for
and
Yakuza.
Not English voice acting, which is surprisingly decent, but just odd.
Yep. So, Gripper's excited, so is Dungeon Buster. Dungeon Buster says, still wish they'd bring over Isshin or Kenzan or both.
I don't think they'll ever do Isshin, because Isshin was a PSP game. And Kenzan, yeah, that's just an oddity. Yep. I mean, Kenzan's almost kind of like Way of the Samurai.
And Dungeon Buster says he's working his way through Yakuza 5, went from punching bears to creating an idol. So that's currently a couple of things you can do in that game. All right, let's move on to the next story from Gamatsu. Hyper Light Drifter launches March 31st for the PC. Heart Machine announced its Steam page is now live. Game is also planned for release across PS4, Xbox One, Wii U, PS Vita, and Linux. Wow, that's weird.
Did they say Linux?
Yeah,
really?
Exactly.
Yeah, Linux.
The action-adventure RPG inspired by 16-bit classics follows a drifter, a, quote, collector of forgotten knowledge, lost technologies, and broken histories. Story of Star Wars, plagued with a vicious illness and searching for a way to cure his disease. There's a trailer to kind of give you an overview with features like this. From each character to subtle background elements, everything is lovingly hand animated. That's a really nice touch.
It's interesting that they skipped out on the 3DS, or not even for the new 3DS.
Wow. Easy to pick up, difficult to master, enemies are vicious and numerous, hazards will easily crush your frail body, and friendly faces remain rare. Upgrade weapons, learn new skills, discover equipment, and traverse a dark, detailed world with branching paths and secrets abound. So, it looks interesting, sounds interesting. I'm interested when it comes out to a format I can play it on.
But when is it
even
coming out?
It was funded through Kickstarter?
I don't care about that.
Did you say it's coming out on March 51st?
Yeah, because March 51st.
That's what SMT seems to think you said. So.
No,
31st. 31st SMT.
That time. That game's been in production for a long damn time. Yeah.
It may as well be.
I already selected my rewards because they emailed me, so I just wanted the PS4 version.
Yeah.
This game's coming out on April 1st.
Yeah, exactly. April 31st. Exactly.
And the Wii U version might not happen for a while.
Yeah. If I said March 51st, it may well be my March 51st. All right, Eric.
This game
story.
Is coming out on February 29th.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Eric.
We got from Gamatsu, Tales of Zestiria, the X anime airs this summer. It says the 20th anniversary
hot, hot,
Tales of... What? Yeah.
I said it's hot, hot, hot. It's triple X.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it says the 20th anniversary of Tales of Series anime project produced by Udafuta will begin broadcasting this summer in Japan. And it was announced at Anime Japan Expo 2016.
So there you go. Zestiria anime. Anybody up for that? I could stand for some of that. I think it's.
I've never played any of the Tales games.
They're fun. They're fun games. They're at times a little difficult, but not bad. Not bad games.
The only experience you have with Tales is Zestiria or Vesperia. So.
Vesperia, I got Tales.
It's one of the more difficult ones. The other ones are relatively easy, especially if you lower the difficulty setting.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of. Experience with those games. They're fun. All right, last story. Mug, let's give you that distinction.
All right. Coming to us live from Silicon Era. RPG Geek! Getting a limited print release on PS4
Y2K.
And Vita. That's a,
yeah,
that's
or
a Y-I-I-K. That's Geek!
It's supposed to be Y2K.
Studios have announced that
you're not the only one
with
that mistake.
What?
or oh, you that, did that on purpose?
I don't. Well, there's a difference. There's a fine line between not knowing and not caring. I like to think I walk that line every day. anyway, studios have announced that they will be partnering with Limited Run Games to do a short print run of PS4 and PS Vita copies of Yeek for its release. A release date is forthcoming, and interested players have been advised to keep an eye on the developer's Twitter account to hear it first. Yeek is a journey to the late 90s, putting players in charge of solving an otherworldly mystery they discovered on a message board while engaging in turn-based RPG combat. Just the way that sentence is structured, it sounds funny. It's like, we're engaging in turn-based RPG combat, and and between turns, we bust out our computers chat on message boards.
We discovered
incoming attack.
Yeah.
I better bring up my shield or whatever.
Yeah, they discover the meaning of life in between their turn skills, turn-based skills. It's pretty funny.
About movies and complaining about being friend-zoned, on their message boards.
So it sounds fun. Sounds interesting. I don't know anything about the gameplay, but I'd be interested in it for sure. I need to get a fucking PS4 is what needs to happen.
What did you do with all that Vegas money?
Bills, dude. I'm almost completely out of debt though. So that's a good thing. So, all right, guys, that's the end of the news. Any homie discounts, Eric?
Yeah, we got one that I found just today. Silicon Air says $240 Wii U available at jet.com at plus a 1 year PlayStation Plus for $40.
Ooh, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. That's a good find.
If for the Wii U Mario Kart 8 bundle, you have to use the coupon code SHOP15 to knock 15% off your order, So Wii U $137 with free shipping, but I guess they're listing it as $140 because you have to pay tax still.
Huh.
That's $140 for the system?
That's not bad.
$240. Sorry.
$240. Oh, okay. Right. I was going to say.
Still $240.
The $40 PlayStation Plus when your card is, let's see. It's no. Oh, apparently there's been an update. The deals over now. Never mind. But I think I saw another one being touted by it might be the same one being touted by Cheap Ass Gamers, so maybe you want to check that out.
Cheap Ass Gamers is awesome, man. You always find good deals.
There's some other deals here though. Like you can get Fallout 4 for $30, and I don't know where this is. Let's see. Deal Zone. I'm pretty sure they're all the same place, but it's a Steam and consoles deal, so you can get one of whatever one you want. But it looks like it's at Amazon, I think. I think I saw it earlier today. Yeah. See, I hate these links that say Deal Zone and then click here. Oh, it's at Newegg.
Yeah. Never mind. All right. Anything else on that, Eric?
There's some other highlights, and I'll put the article in the chat so people can look at it and figure it out.
All right. Breakman, any Twitter offerings today? Did we lose Breakman? Breakman. Oh, shit.
I think we might have because I just got a notification that he was signing into Skype. Huh. So I think he
All right. Let's try to get Breakman.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
What?
I think the deal for the PS Plus card was at eBay, but I'm pretty sure you can find more similar ones over there.
All right, we're still trying to get Breakman back, so we'll get to Twitter questions in a moment. What have you guys been playing?
Well, I have been playing Dead Rising 2 off the record, which I basically got on a whim after watching Game Grumps play through the original. I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this series another try. So I was like, I think I finally get it. The game itself is not very long, but it's really all about the just grinding up and getting more stuff and just screwing around. It's like, okay, I can have fun. I can have fun with that. I finally got to start playing Zelda: Link Between Worlds, and that's pretty fun. I'm a little less than halfway through it, I think.
Yeah.
And I also the PlayStation PSN had this flash sale this past weekend, so I picked up Transformers: Devastation. because it was.
Ooh, how is that game?
It's pretty fun. It's although I seem to have run up against a bit of a brick wall in the form of Devastator, but it is it's enjoyable. It's
that game that it turned me off completely.
Yeah, it's a very platinum game. You know, it's like if you like platinum style of combat, then you'll probably like it. If you don't, then you won't. Yeah, I mean, it's like it's. You know, it's very, we'll say it's very streamlined. You know, it's all about the combat, and everything that's not the combat is like, this is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, my problem with the game was that I was playing it, and my system crashes during a save, auto saves. The game only auto saves, you can't do manual saves, and unlike Batman, your save is protected against the event of such an action. So I lost my save data and I had to start all over again. Granted, I was only like 2 hours in, but that's still 2 hours of out of like what, a 5 hour game.
Yeah, I would probably quit hours, if I were you.
Yeah.
If that happened to me 2 hours, then
so see, I'm not playing this game ever again unless it's on a different console because I don't think my Xbox One's likely to crash like this, like the PS4 is, because the PS4 has been known to do this.
SFTista's, he's still been playing Gundam Breaker 3.
It doesn't more with games that are CD-based, and I was playing the disc-based version of the game, not the digital one.
I got the digital one, so.
But if you're going to cut corners, like not allow manual saving and multiple profiles, then you made a shitty game.
I don't think that that's true.
Dungeon Buster's
the
been
auto saving is very. It's kind of the way of the the way things have gone.
Standard, but when you combine it with the fact that such a thing can happen and you don't give people outs to have multiple save files, then there's problems.
Yeah.
What? Which Autobots do you get to use? Just out of curiosity, because I know it's like the Generation One ones.
Yes, Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, and Sideswipe.
Ooh, Sideswipe.
I think they had the
original voice actors too.
Oh, that's nice. It's too bad they don't have other ones, because they had a robust lineup originally,
But one thing that's kind of weird is like Megatron sounds slightly different. I'm thinking like, is it Frank Welker or is it Frank Welker? It's been a long time, but Okay, because he sounded like he was having a harder time doing the gravelly voice, which is entirely possible because it's been like 30 years since.
For the Bayformers movies, at least the first one, I think they replaced Frank Welker with someone else because he couldn't do the job.
Yeah, it was Hugo Weaving. No, I mean like they got Hugo Weaving to do Megatron's voice in the movies.
Dungeon Buster's been grinding for weapons and parts in The Division, so there you go. He says there's an awesome boss battle sequence with Soundwave on the Transformers game, so there you go. Says the combat system is great, the rest of the game, meh. Alright, Breakman, let's go back to any Twitter questions, and then we'll get back to what we've been playing.
Okay.
That's probably the only reason the Bayformers didn't have Megatron be voiced by Welker because they had him. He was already doing Soundwave. And they probably wanted them to sound different.
Well, that was not just that. I think it was like a Walmart exclusive thing, but there was like this little animated or kind of more like a motion comic sort of preview or like a prequel sort of thing. It's like about 20 minutes long. I saw it called Transformers Beginnings, and. But it was essentially kind of sets up the story of the first movie, and Frank Welker does play Megatron in that.
All right, Breakman, Twitter questions, please.
For some reason, my Twitter questions are—I don't know. This happened a couple of weeks ago. It's not really updating. I know Freak sent us something, but for some reason, I'm not getting it. Let me check my phone.
I think that's the universe trying to spare us heartache.
Spare us from Freak 5K. Yes, exactly. All right, we'll get back to that, Breakman, whenever you get a chance. I've been playing a little bit of
Twilight. No rush. It can wait a few decades.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Twilight Princess. I've been playing a little MPQ. I played a little Guitar Hero, which I haven't played in a long-ass time. So...
Red, blue.
At least I could have swore because it's not on my phone either. So, never mind.
Yeah, pretty fun. I just remember it being a lot easier than what it is now, but whatever. All right. I'm just way out of practice. That's true too. Eric, what have you been playing, man?
I think I finished Twilight Princess HD over the weekend, and I'm still waiting for the review to go up on Game Tactics along with Pokken Tournament. But I've played a little bit more Return to Polokroi, and I played a little bit of Trillion God of Destruction, but I'm going to start over again once I have time to actually play it, because I learned very quickly that the first character you choose to be the candidate for taking down Trillion will die. So I don't want that character to die, so I'm going to use someone else for. So I guess I have to start over for that. So other than that, I've been playing. I finished Mega Dimension Neptunia 7 after having to shelve it for other review code. So I'm going to write the review for that soon. And I played a little bit of Chronicles of Teddy, which is just a re-released director's cut style version of Finding Teddy 2, which was released on Steam. And the Steam version of the game, still to this day, doesn't have any of the updates that are in the director's cut. I mean, it might happen one day, but the fact that the game hadn't received any updates to the PC version is just I don't know what happened there, because the game felt unfinished. Mm. And the new game is pretty much the same game, but they added story elements. Like I thought it was so odd when I started the game and I was treated to a black screen with retro music playing, but I pressed start to skip the cutscene, but apparently there was a cutscene, but there's no text to go there. So when I played the new one on the PS4, they actually lay out a Zelda-style, old NES-style intro to tell you what the story is. And not only that, but the soul that's inhabiting your teddy bear talks to you in the game and tells you how to do things. So there's a lot more direction. And there's an actual map button, which is something that was missing in the PC version. I gave the game a 6 because I liked it, but I also thought it was very, very weak. So
all right.
Hopefully I can give this a much better score this time. And I technically already wrote the review, but I'm going to have to rewrite bits of it.
All right.
Just to tell them, yeah, they actually put work into it this time.
All right. What else have you been playing, man?
That's pretty much it.
All right. Breakman, what have you been playing?
I have played nothing new. I've been playing Halo and Final Fantasy Record Keeper. That's it. Mm-hmm. Record Keeper is in their first anniversary, so they've been giving out free stuff, and there have been some fun events and stuff. So I finally have a level 80 character. I know people can mock me. It took me forever, but I finally have
Frank
a level 80.
Five Chaos is asking who you're eating.
Anybody that spoils Daredevil is who's
been exactly. Eating.
Yeah, you got to get on that, man. It's good.
No, I got other stuff to watch right now, and I haven't had much time.
Spoil Daredevil the movie because the movie's awful.
Nothing is more important than watching Daredevil.
I have been working overtime a lot this week and stuff. I've been busy, man.
The director's cut of the movie is actually not bad.
I didn't know there was a director's cut.
More
there is actually. It changes the movie quite dramatically.
Yeah,
it's not just bad. There's bits like. Yeah, they cut out where Bullseye says, "I want a bloody costume." It's like in the director's cuts, "I want a fucking costume." But there's also like that whole bit where he goes back to be with Elektra. That doesn't happen. It's like he just continues on for his quest for vengeance and everything. It's like it's much darker.
Yeah, it's much darker.
Well, which is kind of the way it should be.
Yeah, it's still shitty. The series is so much better. I'm glad they did the series just to put that movie out of the out of the limelight. It's just much better as a series. But all right, so that's
I've been playing that, and there have been, like I said, I got my first level 80 character, and I'm excited. Yeah. I peed myself with excitement. and then I've been playing Halo. I've been trying to beat the game on Legendary, and let me say the Warden is a dick. Fuck you, Warden. You fucking asshole. He's a good shit talker though.
Yeah,
dickhead.
Yeah.
Our species is so delicate. You fucking dick! Kill you! Anyway, that's it.
And SMT says, for spoilers for Daredevil, Snape kills Dumbledore. There you go.
Oh, God damn it, SMT.
Yeah, there you go. You blame
I don't
SMT.
Any of those characters. Who, what's going on now?
I don't know.
No, I'm just kidding. I never watched. I watched the first Harry Potter, and I just.
You mean there wasn't a Daredevil Harry Potter crossover comic at
some point? There was, yeah.
There was?
No. I'm just.
No. Probably not, but now that Frank said it, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Damn it. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's move on to our stinkos of the week. Eric, let's start with yours.
My stinko is about anti-transgender laws being made in North Carolina. There's an update to this that's not listed in the article, but it says North Carolina limits local governments after transgender bathroom rule. It says that North Carolina legislators decided to rein in local governments by approving a bill Wednesday that prevents cities and counties from passing their own anti-discrimination rules. Governor Patrick McCrory later signed the legislation, which dealt a blow to the LGBT community after success with protections in cities across the country. And so not only did they make this law that basically didn't let transgender people use bathrooms of the opposite sex that they were born with, the opposite to what their transgender status is, that is, on the basis that we need to protect people because they might be trying to pretend to be someone else.
What? Like,
type of bullshit.
Why is this even a thing? Like, honestly, like.
But to add insult to injury, that they also added a stipulation that prevents other counties and other local governments from making their own laws.
God. It is. Ugh. And then we have Donald
Trump.
And
it was also hastily constructed and then passed. That's another bad thing.
Isn't that the way that it is in most legislatures? Like, it's always reactionary.
Fuck you, Republicans.
It's always reactionary. Like, let's just close the barn door, lock everybody up, and
They're reacting to something that's been proven to be a false narrative.
Right.
That's what I don't understand.
The thing is, these are not people that are listening to the facts.
It's not equal sexual deviancy.
Well, yeah. What's funny, I don't know if you've seen some of the reactions to it, but a couple of people have been like, there's this a female to male transgender man who did like, kind of just destroyed the whole thing in one tweet. And he's like, there's just a picture of him, and he's, you know, big, you know, well, not like, you know, massive beard, but a full beard, and, you know, just like, you know, lots of hair and everything. And it's like, according to I don't remember the exact wording of it, like, but according to the, you know, North Carolina law, I now have to pee next to your wife. Mm. I was like, yep, pretty much.
Yeah, I've always said that they should have like stalls in every bathroom, make them universal, like unisex, you know, right? Like, just have a little more privacy, you know, like men's bathrooms aren't the most private things in the world. And I always said
all
that
the
urinals. Yeah, they should have like walls that go all the way up. Like, you know, not that, you know, I suspect anybody of, you know, looking over at my junk or anything, but still, like, don't you want a little bit of privacy going to the bathroom? Like, should be that way all the way around. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I do like having privacy when I go to the bathroom. And I want to also say that as many times as I've gone to the bathroom, I've never seen anybody looking at my junk.
Yeah, exactly. So
I've never ran across that phenomenon that supposedly happens.
I'm sure somebody's taking a peek. At your junk break. I mean, Mug would
do
it.
Well, I mean, I couldn't blame them if they did, but I'm not aware of this ever happening.
Exactly, man. It's 2016. Why this is even a big deal is just beyond me. It's just stupid.
Another thing that bothers me is the ban on gay blood transfusions.
Oh, God, that's awful.
That shit's gone on for ages.
Oh, yeah, that's just awful. Apparently,
a lot of them are starting to get repealed now, but the fact that we had to wait this long was ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, like, from a practical standpoint, I mean, there is, you know, gay men are more likely to have, like, are more likely to be infected with HIV, like, statistically. But it's like, nah, it's not, I mean, like, okay.
I don't know about that now. If you say in America, yes, but I think
America,
Africa
yes.
kind of destroys that.
That's where we're talking about.
I know. I'm sorry. It's like rampant in like countries like South Africa now.
Freak Five says he's had a guy take a peek and compliment him on his junk. So there you go. So maybe it's not such a bad thing, Freak Five. You know. All right, let's move on.
Okay. Before we move on, I've got a joke for you.
Oh God! Here you go.
This dinky little white guy walks in, rushes into the bathroom. It's like goes up to the stall right next to this, huge black guy. Black guy comes in, walks up next to this dinky little white guy, and he's like, whips it out and just starts peeing. He's like, oh, I just made it. And the white guy looks over and says, "Can you make me one of them in white?"
Oh man, that's pretty good. All right, let's move on to, let's see, Breakman's Stinkos of the Week. You've got a couple big ones, man.
Okay, one is, I think the tragedy that happened in Belgium, I think that comes from all of us, though. ISIS, even though if you've been keeping up with what's going on, right now they are kind of on the run. Mm-hmm. They've lost a lot of territory, and because of attacking their money supplies, they've lost a lot of money too. But they have cells across the world, and then this attack was done by like a separate cell, not like the main group of ISIS. And it's terrible.
Yeah, it's. One of the
tactics that they pulled too. Was having two bombers go into an area, and they'd have one bomber go to a specific spot where he blew himself up to get everybody to run to another spot where the second bomber blew himself up. So if they didn't get you with the first bomb, they would get you with the second one.
Yeah, it was
like it's horrifying tactics. Yeah, like I'm surprised they don't use flamethrowers and shit like that at this point.
I was watching a victim of that attack. He was a Mormon missionary. And apparently that guy survived like three separate acts of terrorism. Like,
yeah, I heard about that. He survived the Boston Marathon, the Paris attack, and this one.
Yeah, so it was just really weird.
People are going to start paying him to avoid their countries for money.
Exactly.
Right.
They're going to start
supporting you back to America, bitch.
They're going to start supporting a slush fund to ban this guy from entering the country.
We can just ban politicians from the country.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
We could ban all politicians, even our own.
Freak Five says,
I would dance in the streets. That would be the best news ever.
Yeah. Freak Five says he doesn't have junk. He appreciates his cock more than to call it junk, apparently. So all right. I retract my statement.
Instead of calling it a penis, he calls it a cock. You insult your penis by referring to it in such a derogatory manner, but you respect it's what you're trying to say. I don't think Freak Five has.
All right, what else?
I was calling it a cock derogatory.
Shut up, man! Stop trying to poke holes in my argument.
All right, Greg,
what
man.
Argument? For me to poke holes in it, you have to present one first.
Yeah, exactly.
The one where I make fun of Freak Five Chaos. Damn it!
Yeah, that's always
an
argument.
You don't need an argument to do that. You just make fun of them.
Exactly. All right, Breakman, what else on your agenda?
Oh, my other one goes to the sudden and unexpected death of Gary Shandling. I wasn't the biggest fan, but I was a fan.
So, I like Gary Shandling. I thought he was a much better writer than an actual comedian. But if you talk to a lot of people in Hollywood and see a lot of the interviews, they hold Gary Shandling in very high regard. Like, he was kind of one of the pinnacle comedians. So... he was big on...
Very influential.
Yeah, very influential. He was on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. He stepped in. At one point, he was going to be Johnny Carson's successor. So I don't know what happened with that whole thing. But Gary Shandling.
He was one of the best dry humor comedians, I think.
Pretty good.
That one more. Like, he's telling a joke, but he's saying it like so straight-faced and so calm. You're kind of like, was that a joke?
Yeah,
I mean, I want to laugh, but at the same time, I'm afraid.
Yeah,
I felt uncomfortable.
All right, Mug, you don't have anything listed. Do you have any stinkos? Nothing.
Well, I was going to say, it's a lot of the same stuff that's already been covered. So, mm-hmm.
Dungeon Buster says the Larry Sanders Show on HBO was awesome. Yeah, it's pretty good. Not as good as Curb Your Enthusiasm, but good nonetheless. Let's see. Me. There's a new poll about Donald Trump, and this is why he is not going to win the election. I happen to think that at this point he's unstoppable in the GOP kind of battleground.
Yeah, unfortunately for the GOP, they're in a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Yeah. Like,
well, one thing that's interesting though, that whole thing with the scandal apparently brewing with Ted Cruz, which
there's two scandals, like that one going on, and then like fight.
How he's supposedly the Zodiac killer.
Well, that's this was something actually legitimate, apparently.
Yeah, he might have five mistresses. That's pretty legitimate. And then he's upset with Donald Trump about talking about his wife, but Ted Cruz started it. He started talking about Donald Trump's wife.
Not just that. Yeah, but not just that. They've also attacked.
Yeah. It's been one. Yeah.
It claims to be a family-friendly Christian, but he's all in this shit.
Yeah, at this point,
the thing is, the GOP has also been attacking. They've attacked Michelle Obama for everything. It's like, but now it's like, oh no, you should leave my wife out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Here's, all right. Here's the thing. There's a new poll that says 75%.
How do you attack Michelle Obama? I mean, I don't agree with the whole foods initiative. Like, but other than that, like, she seems like the nicest person on the fucking planet.
Yeah, I don't understand it, man.
What did they attack? How did they attack
all those ad hominem bullshit attacks, man? It's just nonsense.
That's ridiculous. I don't know how you'd attack her.
Donald Trump. This is my stinkle for the week. Donald Trump. The GOP's got a mounting problem. Number one. Number one, yeah,
dump truck.
Yeah, Donald Trump. If you guys have watched John Oliver, that's what we should be calling him. They've got a huge problem on their hands because, like Breakman was alluding to, you can't really go against him now at this point. Like it's him or nothing. So, but they have a huge problem on their hand. They did a one of those, I don't know what type of poll, but you know how those, they have those exit polls where they can kind of tell, get a pulse of the way people are feeling. 75% of the women in this country do not trust Donald Trump. So, good luck with that, GOP. That's your candidate right there. 75%.
Like, I don't know how you could trust him. Like, he's... I mean, he contradicts himself week after week. Each speech, he says, "I didn't say that."
Oh God!
We've got it on tape. You saying it, you jackass?
Just like how he advocated war crimes, and they have a new one circulating with him on the Oprah Winfrey show way back in the day, where he basically said when he was married to Ivana Trump that she just does what she's told. That's his view on women. So good luck with that, GOP. Donald Trump.
I'm pushing myself as far away from this election. I don't think I can take much more of it. I'm just sick
awful.
Of everything.
It's awful. It sucks.
I don't want to hear anymore. I'm tired of it. Like we're shit can. We're shit if we do. We're shit if we're not.
Exactly.
Whatever we do, we're fucked.
Yeah. I mean, the United States has become the freak show of the world. No disrespect to Freak Five and Chaos in chat. So.
I love this country. Like I've grown up here, and it's nice to be able to. It's we get to say this stuff about our country, like our leadership, how bad they are. That's a nice freedom that a lot of people don't have.
Yeah, nice freedom that we won't have for very long if Trump.
Yeah, I know. But we're just watching like our freedoms. Leave us like being taken away.
I always imagine like when I don't care who the Democratic candidate is, but all they got to do is just show a bunch of videos of Trump saying that he wants to kill the terrorist families who had nothing to do with anything. You know, it's just like
that one.
Come on. I mean, come on, dude.
The family thing. Oh man.
I mean, isn't that like, ridiculous?
I mean, like, the sad thing is nothing he says surprises me.
No, it doesn't.
Definitely not. There, everything, and the only thing that scares me is that people, no matter what he says, there are people out here to cheer for him.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
But there are people like that for every candidate, and that's really upsets me too. Like, do you people hear yourselves? Do you think do you do your research before you go out and support these people?
Yeah, no.
I mean, have you listened to two interviews with Donald Trump?
Right, right.
Because he'll say two different things in each interview. Like, right. I didn't say that. No, yeah. I was only talking about Oprah Winfrey. I wasn't talking about other women or whatever.
That's the political dance that all politicians do. And I mean, that's what they do all the time. They, whichever crowd they're in front of, that's what they're going to say. You know, and Trump's no different than Clinton or anybody fucking else. So, okay, from one versus to another. I'm not going to do a spoilerific version of a review of Batman versus Superman, but let's...
Wait, I thought we were going to do Sweetos.
We are. I'm still on my Stinko, so...
Oh, well, you're skipping to your review of Batman Superman, that your Stinko?
No, he's not.
I'm not reviewing it. It's just one of my other Stinkos of the week. I did not like it. Okay. Yeah. It's one of the worst superhero movies I've ever seen. I'll talk more about it next week. Let's move on to our
Bad. I didn't know it was that bad.
Oh,
okay,
God, it's awful, man. It really is awful. Let's move on. Sweetos of the week. Moria.
My Sweetos. I finally, for starters, I finally got my PC working again.
No.
I'm pleased with. It was running really hot, and it's like 90 degrees plus Celsius on the CPU, mm-hmm. which is bad. So it was just like spontaneously turning off. So I got that taken care of and replaced the keyboard and all that good stuff. Thing that I don't know if you guys saw that where the CRISPR Cas9 thing, they actually edited they edited HIV out of the human genome.
Wow. What are the implications of that? Like, honestly,
well, it's basically it's we typically tend to think of that whole thing like where we can eliminate like congenital diseases, mm-hmm. like basically keep people from getting congenital diseases like Tay-Sachs or something like that.
Right.
But this could actually open up the door to like using gene therapy to treat. To treat diseases,
mm-hmm.
Well, and essentially, like what it says here, like I said, over the years, scientists have struggled to remove HIV from infected CD4 plus T cells, a type of white blood cells that fights infection. But the success there has inspired a new approach. They did a modified version of the CRISPR thing, which specifically targets the HIV1 DNA.
Mm-hmm.
They extracted infected T cells and then did the procedure on it, and the guide RNA methodically made its way across the entire T cell genome, searching for signs of the viral components. Once it recognized a match, a nuclease enzyme ripped out the offending strands from the T cell DNA. Then the cell's built-in DNA repair machinery patched up the loose ends. Not only did this remove the viral DNA, it did so permanently. What's more, because this microscopic genetic system remained within the cell, it staved off further infections when particles of HIV-1 tried to sneak their way back in from unedited cells. This was done on cells in a petri dish, but this technique successfully lowered the viral load in the patient's extracted cells, which means it could be, it's possible that it could be used as a treatment. And this is the kind of thing that could theoretically be used to create immunities to existing diseases.
Like, is this
when antibiotic resistance becomes such a major issue, mm-hmm. that will be in a post antibiotic world.
Right. Right.
It's a big deal.
Would they be able to use like stem cells for this, or is it just cells in general?
In hypothetically, like what I can see is like it's going to sound kind of sci-fi, but what could be done, at the genetic level, would essentially for a generation, eliminating the susceptibility to things like HIV, and effectively wiping the disease out, because it won't be able to infect any humans.
Mm, that's interesting, man. That's a good branch of science that we need more research in, for sure. But instead, we're piddling around with how many troops we need to send at a certain place. That's the way of the world, man. But that's encouraging, Mug, for sure. That's good science, yeah. I think. So
yeah, I mean it's a ways off before we start seeing anything like really medical out of it, but it could be, you know, could be a major breakthrough.
Sure. Speaking of major breakthroughs, Eric, you have a nice sweeto. Let's listen to yours.
This is from the Baltimore Sun. It says a woman's blindness apparently reversed by stem cell treatment. Sitting on the front steps of her Cockney Hill home a year and a half ago, Vanna Velton was startled and thrilled when her eyes focused on a car's license plate. Essentially blind for more than 5 years, she only could read the numbers and letters. It says no one can explain exactly how Belton came to see again, not even the doctor who treated her as part of unconventional stem cell studies shortly after she regained limited vision.
So what's the gist here, of it?
Is basically, hold on. She says she was diagnosed with a sudden and perplexing case of optic neuritis, a general term meaning optic nerve inflammation. And her damaged optic nerve was not properly sending visual information to her brain. And the doctor suspected the cause was multiple sclerosis and autoimmune disorder, but Belton tested negative for it. They said initially that her sight would improve, but after 6 months, they stopped calling her blindness temporary. So she decided to the weird thing is here, she actually went to Wu first before going to get surgery for this new experimental method. So that's kind of, yeah.
Right.
But anyways, apparently all her other doctors recommended against this surgery because I guess it was really unconventional. But also, I do know that some doctors might not have updated medical research because they just do a service and they're not actual proper researchers.
I'm a little skeptical of this. I don't even think the doctors know what they did with her. There is such a thing as getting better spontaneously, and like you know.
But I'm gonna get to the part where he explains what they did.
Yeah.
Hold on. It says Weiss, who is a board certified and ophthalmologist.
Yeah.
Said he didn't have the patience for academic research, was strictly governed by internal review boards and requires fundraising. Without a long history of stem cell research and a current academic appointment, he said he sought legitimacy for his work by registering for a trial with NIH, which scientific journals required to publish promising results. And it says here, hold on a second. I'd have to read the entire thing to know where it says what exactly he did, but
I'm pretty sure the gist of it was introducing stem cell, like Petri dish stem cells back into her eyes. Like
that's what I gathered. What he basically did was he took her stem cells out, did something to them, put them back in. And apparently after he did this, she recovered. But it's entirely possible that it was just like a remission of some kind. And what he did was kind of pointless.
Yeah. I don't know.
It needs more study.
Definitely needs more study. But
the sweet part of this is, well, if what he did was actually effective, then I hope he finds out he's effective and then they can continue to do this stuff.
Yeah, there was a line in here that really resonated with me. It was about penicillin. Like a lot of doctors didn't know the exact mechanism of penicillin. All they knew is that it was helping people. So, you know, maybe a few years down the road, we'll know the mechanisms of why this works. And in the meantime, people can reap the benefits, you know, without side effects.
Well, that is if indeed was the cause.
Yeah,
but
exactly. Well, I mean, there's always a start somewhere, you know, so there you go. Speaking of new starts, Breakman, you got a sports-related one.
Oh, yes. For the city lately, we've just had this bad news streak lately. The Bengals lost in the last, minute of that game on some flukes and penalty calls and other bullshit that just happened. And then my beloved Bearcats, the game happened after the episode last week when I was happy about March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
And then that game happened, and I wasn't happy about March Madness anymore.
Neither was I, man. Those stupid
– after they lost, basically what happened was he went up to dunk with less than a second on the clock, and he didn't get the ball out of his hands with like 0.01 seconds on the clock. And if he had been like 0.01 second quicker, it would have been a different game.
As bad as you
so that they lost that way, and that hurt. That killed all my joy of basketball. I couldn't stand anything of it for the rest of the weekend. I was just pissed.
It could have been worse, Breakman. You could have been fans of you and I, University of Northern Illinois. That would have been way worse, man. Did you watch
Michigan
that?
State? Like,
Michigan State, man. That ruined a lot of brackets, man.
That ruined my brackets. Yeah. past that, after that news, what started to circulate was UNLV started courting our basketball coach, who I happen to be a huge fan of. So this last week, we've had to deal with the news of all this reporting. He's going over here. He's talking to us. The school was saying that like they're excited. He's coming here. And earlier today, it was he confirmed himself. He is staying in Cincinnati.
Yeah, well,
he will be the University of Bearcats coach going forward. And
going forward till next year when UCLA will have an opening.
No. Mick Cronin, he's actually from Cincinnati. He's wanted to be the basketball coach of the Bearcats since he was a kid. He studied under guys like Rick Pitino and Coach Bob Huggins, who was a big name at the school for a while.
Yeah, do you guys like Bob Huggins still? I don't know how that whole.
Oh, see that's something that really has irritated me in the last week. Mick Cronin has had a lot of people that don't like him because they really loved Bob Huggins and they were upset about what happened to Bob Huggins. And they've taken it out on Cronin, who had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. He was good when he was here, but towards the end of his career, personally, I was starting to really get irritated with him. I wanted him to go for some of the things he was doing. He had like two drunken driving arrests.
Yeah.
He was started pushing his weight around the city, kind of like, "Hey, like you know who I am," kind of things.
Yeah.
Like I don't like that kind of shit. You know, personally, I really don't like the drunken driving. So I just like you know, your time here is done. Personally, I wasn't sad to see him go, but there are a lot of people who were. And so this city has been really divided on the coach. So it was a big thing whether he was there or leave.
You know, it's funny, Breakman. I thought of you when somebody came into my occupation the other day. I'll have to tell you off the air. I don't want to get in any trouble whatsoever. But somebody interesting showed up at my work, Cincinnati related, and I'll have to.
That's
tell
cool.
You. Yeah. All right, what else, Breakman?
Well, my second sweeto goes to something that me and Eric have bitched about a lot. About 10 years ago in Ohio, they passed the smoking ban. One of the things they did on the smoking ban, it was underhanded, and it continues to be a thing.
Public and restaurants ban.
What they did was they told everybody that, hey, private and ownerships, like if you have a private club or something like that, you're completely exempt from it. What they didn't add to that when people went to vote was that if you have employees, you're not exempt. Do you know any clubs that don't have employees?
Yeah.
Like it was their little underhanded trick that they did.
Maybe one day when we have robots, then we can have smoking.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like they do these underhanded bullshit laws in Ohio. Like they try and sneak shit in on us. And that time with the smoking ban, it worked. But recently, a Democrat and a Republican, so this is both sides of the fence working against this, are fighting to have the law changed so that private businesses can have smoking again.
Why? Why is because there
they,
any fighting?
These two people are saying, hey, they were lied to. These laws need to change. Of course, you know, all the anti-smoking and the doctors and all those people are like, no, no, this is ridiculous. Like, stop telling people what they fucking can and can't do to themselves.
Yeah.
And and the people who want to say this, and it's been proven wrong, that all those smokers, they're such a burden on the healthcare system. Actually, you know what? Smokers cost the health system less because they die younger.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
So that was a thing that they wanted to argue, which is completely bullshit. People know what they're doing when they smoke. Their rules – I mean, I'm sorry, their ads, their it's all over the air. Like, you know what you're doing to yourself. It's your choice what to do to yourself, I think.
You know, personally. I agree, Brake, and I am a
It'd be one thing if they cured death. Okay, anti-smoking people, tell me when they cure death. When they've figured out how to stop death, then I'll be like, okay, then people need to stop doing stuff that can kill them.
Yeah. Because
you know what? We're all going to fucking die.
Everything kills
Let
you.
Let people
Even
enjoy
air kills
themselves.
You. Yeah. You're getting cancer.
We're all going to die somehow. Let people enjoy themselves. And by the way, I don't smoke. Yeah. So fuck you if you were thinking that.
Well, here's the thing. I'm with you 100% on this break. Like, I can't stand tobacco smoking. I hate it. I hate the smell of it. I hate to be around it. I don't like when other people do it around me. I just don't like it. But I have a choice. If I'm in a restaurant or someplace where there's a lot of smoking, I can leave. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to be subjected to it. And that's it. End of story. And I don't like the government saying you can or cannot.
See, that's the thing is before the government told people that, hey, you don't – like you can't smoke, businesses all had the option of telling people this is a no-smoking area.
They all
had that choice.
Yeah, exactly.
That choice was taken away. The government said, no, we're doing it our way.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that. That's not cool. There was I remember growing up, like there were like restaurants that chose. They were like, look, this is a smoking section, this is non-smoking. Would you like smoking?
Look how many restaurants and businesses have no shoes, no shirt, no service. That's not a law.
Nope. That's just what they choose. That's it.
That's their own personal choice. You were allowed to say whether you wanted smoking or not. Now it's you're not.
Yeah.
And just like everything else, you're allowed to say, like, what kind of, you know, like, we don't want you to come in our business if you're doing this. If you have a gun on you, even though Ohio's concealed carry, if you have a gun, this is a no-gun business place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. No, I agree. Let's move on to my sweeto real quick, guys. I had an opportunity to
– So my sweeto is that there are politicians trying to change that law.
Yeah, that's cool. Like that, if everybody's in agreement, why can't they just change it? You know, just change the fucking law.
Because of big money lobbyists. I mean, basically, it's doctors like saying no.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous. Here's our money. Don't do this.
Exactly. Mine is we went to Boondocks, which is like, I guess GameWorks where you're at in Ohio, Breakman and Dave and Buster's type thing. And we got enough.
Dave and Buster's around here has gotten way better than it used to be.
Yeah.
It's a good place to go to watch sports because they have fucking
too far away to go to Dave and Buster's
everywhere. About 20 minutes away from a Dave and Buster's.
We actually got enough tickets to get.
I think there's one in Columbus, but I'm not sure.
And I'm about 10 minutes away from GameWorks.
Wiffix and I actually got enough tickets to get Mario Monopoly and Mario Chess. So
that must have been expensive.
More fun than Mario Party. Yay.
We spent some money, but we were having fun in the process. We actually gamed this system. I mean, we ended up spending a lot of money, but it wasn't as much as most people spend to get things like that. Let's just put it that way.
Well, that's what makes Mario Party not so fun is you can easily game the system.
Yeah, exactly.
Each one of the Mario Parties I've played has been broken in some way. Like, it's just not fair for some players.
Yeah,
the way they made them.
But chess is chess, and Monopoly is Monopoly, and it's fun.
Yeah, those are fair. Those aren't broken games. Yeah.
It's fun to play those games, and it's even a little bit funner to play them with different pieces and, you know, different things. It's just a fun little thing. And I also had the pleasure of watching a show that has been escaping me for a long time. I've been meaning to get to it, but Portlandia. If anybody has seen that show, it's just like the sketch comedy type deal, and it's pretty funny. I highly recommend Portlandia. I've watched the first season and a half, and I'm really digging it. I think it's a fun show. So if you get a chance to watch that, watch that. All right. Eric has a review of Zootopia, I believe, or did you do that last week?
Zootopia. I didn't do it last week.
All right, let's do it, Derek.
I decided to review it because apparently you hadn't, even though you had seen it.
Yeah, I haven't.
Anyways, I decided to see this movie because I wanted to see London Has Fallen while they were still giving it a reasonable time slot. Mm-hmm. But I got there a little too late, and apparently it was like 20 minutes since it started running, and even with previews, it probably would have been started already. So I was like, oh, I'll just see the 3D version of this movie because I can't see the 2D version at this time, and I don't want to wait another like 20 minutes. So I decided to see it in 3D. And it's about a scenario where either humanity died off and animals evolved in their place, or humanity never evolved in the first place and all the other animals did.
This is a Disney movie, right? It was probably humanity just never existed.
Yeah.
Or it's like the natural
or humanity was Jewish after Robin Hood.
Or it's the Robin Hood universe and it's just the natural outgrowth of it.
Yeah.
You sure it wasn't because they were Jewish? Because this is Walt Disney we're talking about.
I don't know. Anyways.
I'm just kidding, Walt Disney. I know you're different now. Sorry.
Animals have a civilization comparable to our own. They all evolved to be bipedal. And there's this one animal in particular named actually I forget her first name now that I think about it, but their last name was Hops. They was always referring the fox character was always referring to them as Hops. But anyways, she wants to be a cop, but a lot of people are telling her that she can't because she's a rabbit. Because even though they evolved to be bipedal, they really haven't changed much size-wise. So it'd be kind of tough to be a cop at that small of a height. And anyways, she eventually does, but she gets a shitty parking meter job. And then she gets frustrated, complains to the chief that she wants to do more. And she kind of steps around and nearly loses her job. But one of the mayor's assistants overhears them talking and decides that she needs to stay there. And to look good, she's like, okay, you got like a certain amount of time. And obviously he set her up to fail because he doesn't want her doing this stuff. So
Judy Hopps is the name.
Judy Hopps, that's right. Yeah. And I forget the fox's name too.
Nick Wilde.
Yeah. Nick. I'm bad with names in movies when I'm just more interested in actually watching them. Hmm. But they get caught up and first let me rewind a bit, but she meets this fox that's a con artist and is running a hustling scheme, and she decides to hold the dirt that she has against him as a means of having him help her solve the case. And they get winded up with a situation that where the animals are starting to become feral and they don't know why. And well, that's the most of the movie I could tell you about without spoiling the rest.
Yeah, no spoilers. So what would you be giving Zootopia?
It was cute and the only jokes I really didn't like were the sloth jokes. I mean, yeah, we're going to make a joke about the sloth, even though we've been building up the movie as we need to tolerate people, not stereotype them. They stereotype them. So that was a pretty faux pas, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have to make it slow just means the terrible joke is being ran too long.
Yeah, I was typing in chat, like, this is probably one of the best, if not the best movie I've seen all year. Maybe Deadpool. Deadpool was really surprising to me.
It's gotten a lot of really good reviews.
Yeah.
The 3D is actually pretty good.
At least
at the theater I saw a lot of.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Maybe it benefits from the fact that it's purely a CG movie and it's not post-production 3D.
Yeah. How's the animation?
It is awesome.
It's on the level of Tangled, I guess. Maybe a little bit better than Tangled.
It's good, man. Like, this movie's good, dude. Like, I'm giving it high reviews too.
Yeah, one thing I noticed is that nobody ate meat in the movie, so everybody's a vegetarian, even the originally carnivorous predators.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good. There's a surprise.
Either that, or they genetically grow meat in a lab. Like, I'm hoping one day we will do.
It's good.
You didn't see what was going on behind closed doors, man. You don't know.
They eat the dead then.
Yeah. It's got a really good story, actually.
Kind of pretty dark towards the second half of the movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's actually – there's a lot for adults. There's a lot for kids in the movie.
There's subtext of, like, tolerance, and then there's subtext of drug use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there's a lot in this movie. It's not a typical Disney fluff.
I wouldn't say typical movie. Because there was Disney has done some like dark movies in the past. They never sell really well, so they kind of stayed away from Miramax.
Because Miramax is a completely different studio and that Disney just happens to own.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about movies like Dragon Slayer Black Hole. Like, these were darker movies.
Musketeers was pretty dark too.
Yeah,
no, but they didn't sell well. So Disney's been like, okay, well, let's go with the kiddie friendly stuff.
No, this is good, man. This is not only kid friendly, but it's good, man. It's actually one of the highest reviewed movies of the year, and I understand why. Like, I was really surprised. I was kind of drugged to the movie.
It kind of has shades of Great Mouse Detective in it too.
Yeah, a little bit. It's actually
really
good. And maybe
even The Rescuers.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I could see that. Like, it's a solid movie with a solid story. Which,
it's not The Rescuers Down Under.
No.
No.
this movie was akin to. Probably how surprised I was at what is that movie? Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6 is kind of lame.
Yeah, it was all right. I liked it.
It's a decent movie, but it's not much more than just action fluff.
Yeah, this movie's definitely better. I highly recommend Zootopia. If I had to give Zootopia a score, I'd give it a 9 out of 10. So
yeah, same.
Yeah, it's a good movie, man. I highly recommend people watch it for sure.
I did see 10 Cloverfield Lane. I thought that was good, but you already did reviews, so I decided to leave it out.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it. It's a lot different. If you're not a fan,
you can see it without having seen the other one.
Yeah,
that's the impression I got. But if you saw the original one, you know that there's stuff going on outside of what's happening in the movie.
Yeah, it's 10 Cloverfield Lane is an interesting movie to me because it's completely different than the shaky cam Cloverfield movie that was out.
It was not originally a sequel to Cloverfield.
No, it's not. It's awesome. It ties in really nicely with that film, and I was really surprised by that movie.
The ties to Cloverfield were entirely done in script rewrites.
Yeah.
It was never intended to be Cloverfield in the first place.
But it works awesomely. Like, I don't know what it is about it, but it.
But if it works,
that's great. I'm just saying that's not what it was made to be.
Right? No, it's not. But it works actually really well. Like it did suffer from something that Batman versus Superman suffered from, which I'm gonna do my I was gonna review it this week, but I don't want to do spoilers this soon in. It suffers from something.
Keep us on edge.
Yeah, there's something about 10 Cloverfield Lane like I felt about Batman versus Superman. Batman versus Superman could have been about a half an hour less.
Movie could have probably been like 15 minutes less.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, it's 10 Cloverfield Lane kind of it didn't need the Cloverfield stuff at the end, but it still worked. It worked in a way that they incorporated it in a nice little fashion. So Yeah, definitely go see 10 Cloverfield Lane, Zootopia, Batman versus Superman. I'll talk about next week. I just real quickly, I didn't like it at all. Like it was just. I'll talk about it next week.
Super dick.
Ugh, yeah, let's talk about it next week. All right, do we have any free for alls this week, guys? Anything on the burner?
I do. We do have more common biases we could talk about.
Let's talk about them, Eric. Let's go.
Let's see. 7 and 8. So let's see. We're at 9 now. Hold on a minute. Bandwagon effect.
Okay, let's do it.
Although we're unconscious of it, we love to go with the flow of the crowd. When the masses start to pick a winner or favorite, that's when our favorite individualized brains start to shut down and are a kind of groupthink or hive mind mentality. But it doesn't have to be a large crowd on the whims of an entire nation. It could be small groups like a family or even a small group of office co-workers. The bandwagon effect is what often causes behavior, social norms, and memes to propagate among groups of individuals, regardless of the evidence or motives in support. This is why opinion polls are often maligned, as they can steer the perspectives of individuals accordingly. Much of this bias has to do with our built-in desire to fit in and conform.
You know, earlier we were talking about, like, Donald Trump, and that there's a lot of truth to exit polls and, you know, opinion polls and stuff like that. If you flash something up there, then people will tend to gravitate towards that, which in the case of that 75% of women not liking Donald Trump, I don't think I'm opposed to. I think being a bandwagon on that thing is fine, but there is some truth to that. Like, anytime something gets thrown out there and a small group of people say the same thing, it starts to grow. It's kind of the reason why a lot of grassroots movements are so successful, because you can kind of influence people in a way that is either good or bad. You know, I mean, there's good grassroots movements and bad whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. Conformity experiments. Have you guys ever read those Ash conformity experiments? They're pretty compelling.
Not really.
You've ever heard of Milgram's 37?
I have, actually.
Like, it was this famous experiment where people were given instructions like, here, you handled this dial, and the more you turn it, the more this person in the other room is going to receive an electric shock. And essentially, like, the person just keeps encouraging them to do it. It's like you're getting all this feedback from this other person who's apparently in all this pain. Not actually in any pain. It's just this person's acting like it is. And it's essentially to see, like, how far people would take it before they're just, like, their urge to obey is superseded by their sense, like, I can't keep doing this.
Right.
And it's like, it was very unsettling just how many people were willing to, as long as they're being told what they need to do, they will just keep going.
You know, this reminds me of a movie that I saw called Circle. I believe it's called Circle, and it's just a bunch of people in a room, and they're like kind of like tied to their little pod. Like, there's these little pods in the room, and if they're told they can't exit it, otherwise they'll die. And they have to decide amongst themselves who's going to be the lone survivor. And it's kind of that thing. Like, one person says one thing about a person, and then they get a little bit of support. And then all next thing you know, that person's out. You know, it's like, it's kind of weird. Breakman, you made an interesting point in chat, kind of explain some of the voters. They kind of go where the
not just that, it explains Nazis too.
Yeah, like, that's true.
The whole, like, the Nazi movement, which if people, a lot of people don't know, they were a minority in Germany when they took power.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that, but yeah. People just think German, evil. A lot of people did not support Hitler.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, Hitler wasn't German.
Nope.
Austrian. Forget that.
Also, like, my favorite part about him is he was running the Aryan nation, but he was the exact opposite of Aryan. I know. You know?
Yeah, I want the future generation. Blonde,
blue-haired, like, alpha male. Like, he was short, brown hair, like, dark eyes. Like, he was nothing. He was not anything like what he was saying.
Yeah, you say it was nothing.
The thing was, he was fighting for a future that he envisioned, and that's why people went behind him.
Yeah, his mouth is what made him what he was. You know, ugh, God, to think like we got somebody eerily similar running for president. Like it's just the parallels are just crazy. Like did you guys ever see that it's like a meme of Donald Trump and Hitler, and it was kind of scary. Like I don't know, it's just weird. All right, what else have we got?
I don't think it would ever come to that here.
I don't think so, Brake, but I mean, ugh. Do you even want that chance of something like that happening? Like ugh.
I don't even really think there's a chance of that happening.
I mean, he's
like,
got
because we have a Congress and that we have other government entities that will stop whoever's in power from doing things like that.
Yeah. Well, we would hope they would.
They didn't have that in Germany.
Yeah. We would hope
basically,
they would.
It was the ruling party, and like their rule is law.
Yeah.
But we have the three branches of government. To stop exactly that kind of thing.
Yeah. No,
so it's never going to come to anything like that in America.
That's the way that it should be, and hopefully it stays.
I know. I want to ease people's fears, even though I know we're all terrified of the future. I mean, I'm scared of Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton being our next president, but it's going to happen. But don't worry, we're not going to turn into Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Well, at least we won't. You know what I mean? Like, we won't. The vast majority of people won't turn that way.
I mean, yeah, there are going to be the extreme entities. You're right. I can't deny that there will be crazy people.
Yeah.
It's there are always crazy people in this country.
Well, see, Dungeon Buster brings up a good point too, man. He says people didn't think that the erosion of privacy or 9/11 could ever happen here either, and it did. So you know, let's just hope for the best.
I think at some point people are not going to put up with it, and they're going to coup.
Hopefully,
the erosion of privacy all happened because of 9/11. When we were that was a rare thing in American history. That was the biggest attack that we'd ever experienced. That was unlike Pearl Harbor, where our soldiers were attacked, and we lost even more lives with 9/11.
Yeah, and with that,
that was an extreme circumstance that changed a lot. But you're right; there was a lot of freedoms given away, and people willingly gave them away.
Yeah, and that's not cool. That's not cool. Anytime you have to.
But it was because we were all like under the same thing. Oh my God, we're under attack. Like, save us.
Yeah, which I mean,
it's not really like that anymore. You know,
it shouldn't be that way. Like that Patriot Act shit should just go away, man. Like, just go away. All right, Eric, what else do we got, man?
Do you want to do the protection bias?
Let's do that, and then we'll end the show, man. Like, I ain't got
all right, says, as individual trapped inside our own minds 24/7, it's often difficult for us to project outside the bounds of our own consciousness and preferences. We tend to assume that the most people think just like us, though there may not be no justification for it. This kind of shortcoming often leads to a related effect known as the false consensus bias, where we tend to believe that people not only think like us, but they also agree with us. It's a bias where we overestimate how typical and normal we are and assume that a consensus exists on matters when there may be none. Moreover, it can also create the effect where members of a radical or fringe group assume the more people on the outside that agree with them than is the case, or the exaggerated confidence one has when predicting the winner of an election or a sports match.
Yeah, there are certain things that happen in life, like I don't know if you guys, Breakman and Mug, maybe you guys more so than Eric, the Waco thing, like, you know, like they believe that more people on the outside believe like them, and it led to whatever happened there. You know, it's like
plus a lot of FBI failings.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, for sure.
What a damn shock truth. Right.
What'd you say? What'd you say?
I said, ain't that the damn truth?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, a lot of times we're all guilty of this. We all feel that to a certain degree that everybody else agrees with us when that may not be the case. We may be in the minority.
Whoa. What? Not everybody agrees with me?
No, No, not everybody.
I disagree.
I don't even think you agree with yourself sometimes.
Busted.
Yeah, like sports. It's happens. True.
Sometimes I say stuff and I'm like, well, why'd I say that? I don't agree with that.
It happens to you and I a lot with sports. Like, we're homers. Like, we, you know, like with your Bengals, my Broncos. Like, I just happened out of circumstance to be right this year. You know, but that's
right.
Like every year, every fan is guilty of it. You know, our team's going all the way this year. We got this person or that person, and we're going to win the Super Bowl. You know, it always happens. Like every year, there's a sense of optimism. Dungeon Buster says, as long as they're vigilant against obvious abuses, yes. But who's to say that certain writers favored by those like Trump or Clinton won't get passed and pave the way for
forgiveness? Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you, Dungeon Buster. See, that's the thing is – every politician in my lifetime, I mean, presidential as such, have passed and done things that have been underhanded and scrupulous and such like that. I don't think that pattern's going to change. I'm just saying we're not going to turn into a country of people who we're not going to have another civil war or we're not going to turn into a fascist country or something like that.
I do think there's a day, it may not be anytime soon or even in our lifetimes or kids' lifetimes, where I think it was Jefferson said that, you know, you have to have a revolution every once in a while. You know,
the tree of liberty must be occasionally watered with the blood of tyrants.
Yeah. So
Dungeon Bus says there's so much pork attached to those bills. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He is 1,000,000,000% correct. Because every politician has something that they want to do specifically. And basically they'll slip it in to a bill, which is something that really irritates me. Because that's one of the things that Obama ran on, that he was going to eliminate things like that.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Still get the news.
Right. Well, it's just that whole, you know, as long as there's money.
Well, he hasn't even thought it, though. Like, he's used it to his advantage. That's always different than fighting against it, you know.
There's always.
It'd be one thing if he tried, but no, he's just used it, too. So.
Just follow the money. That's what you got to do.
I know.
Just follow the money, man. You know, it's always that way, and it probably always will be, but let's hope it never gets to the point where we do have to force their hand, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, this is what it is. All right, guys. I think that's about it for this show anyways.
Please, let's never talk about fucking politics. I don't want to ever hear Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton again.
Well, I don't know if that's not going to happen, man.
These are two people that I hated before they were running for president. It's just like – I can't believe they're like the two front runners running for president.
I know.
And there's evidence that like the election has been rigged in Hillary's favor in states like Arizona and shit. It's just
always going to be something in politics.
I know. Americans aren't. We're not. Politicians have set us up to fail in their favor.
Always, man. All right, Mug. Let's start with your plugs, man.
All right, you can find me on Twitter. It's at MoriaMug, MoriaMug.
All right.
That's it.
That's always it with you. You know, you never have a series or movie or anything to plug.
No, nothing today.
All right, Eric. Eric, did we lose you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm still here.
There you go.
Plugs, you can find my review of Darius Burst at Boss Bastard Gage. There are other websites like totallygn.com, and I have another review up there.
Dungeon Buster.
Which I've done so many, so in such a short time, I'm still going to be doing more. It'll finally slow down soon, though. Yeah. But even though I've got a whole heap of them now again for April, but I'm also going to do a PSA. Manga Gamer's having issues with a developer, Davil, and I guess the agreement they had for two of their games is ending. So those games are going to be delisted from the store. But if you already pre-purchased them, you'll be able to re-download them, so they're not taking them off the servers. They're just not allowed to sell anymore. But if you want those two games, you can get them. They're Soul Link and Shuffle. So if those mean anything to you, go get them now. But they're like $30 each, about. And I got review code for them, but I don't think I'll be able to get them done in time for the 31st cutoff.
All right.
I'm going to try. So at the very least, I'll do an ending for each of the game, because there's multiple endings, and I'm not going to do them all.
So, all right. Anything else, Eric? I
look forward to that. But you can also find other reviews at VogNetwork.com and AustinGamers.com. And any other sites I'm missing? Oh, yeah. I guess that's it. But there's also my YouTube channel. And I'm going to finally upload the Fire Emblem Fates Special Edition video.
Dungeon Buster says the only politics that is best is whether Count Chocula or Fruit Loops should be president of your breakfast table.
They don't even sell Count Chocula anymore.
Yeah.
No, they sell it during the seasonally.
Yeah, but
no, you can get it anytime.
You can.
Local stores may not carry it, but they have that blueberry, frankenberry, and that fruit root.
Wait, what? There's a fourth one. There's the werewolf one. Does anybody remember that one?
If you live in a city, you can go to a place like fruit? Sam's Club, fruit. Maybe, but I don't have that luxury.
Yeah. They come out with them here every Halloween, for sure. Like, you'll see frankenberry.
It's called fruit root.
Yeah. Fruit Loops?
Fruit Brute. As in, like, et tu brute, you know, brute.
Okay, I don't remember the name, but I just, like, when I tell people, and lately, well, when I've talked about, like, the those cereals, I'll mention the fourth one, and people think I'm stupid.
No, you're not.
I'm like, no, there was a fourth one, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
There is a fourth one, and you can still get it.
All right, Break, your plugs.
You can follow Break_man and at RP Grinders on Twitter, and I'm sorry I didn't tweet anything today. I've just been busy at work.
No worries, man. We all have those days.
Oh, yeah. I guess I could have mentioned a lulls that I didn't get to. Let me say with
work, like, I've been working a lot of overtime, which is great. I mean, when I get paid, I'll enjoy it. Yeah. But it just hasn't left me free time. So anyway.
Yeah.
My whole lulls was the whole thing that happened with Ty. What? Microsoft's AI Twitter experience.
Oh, yeah, that was right. That was great.
You hear about that, Frank?
No, it might have worked better if they had not tried to advertise it as an experiment and then let it go out into the wild that way.
I mean,
it would have been better if it had learned within a controlled environment first.
Yeah.
What did they think was going to happen? When you give it to the general public, you know the first people that are going to go at it are going to be the biggest
jokes, Nazi jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're going to be people that are going to be trying to fuck your shit up. Like, they for the one of the biggest companies in the world, they aren't very bright at Microsoft.
Dude, that's Microsoft for you. I found a picture of Fruit Brute on Google. So, there you go. Fruit Brute. That's what it is. Thanks to Mug. He knew it. Right on. I want to thank everybody in chat. Kazin was in chat. Long time no see, Kazin. Gripper was there. Dungeon Buster, MXT. We had Freak5 Chaos. And there was somebody else in there. I can't remember who, but somebody else was in there. But yeah, it's awesome. And then Dungeon Buster said he didn't even hear about the Microsoft AI on Twitter.
I'm surprised he didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either. I don't even know what the hell happened with that. I'm going to have to search that.
I didn't hear about it until after it had gone south.
Yeah. So there you go. All right, everybody. I think that's going to do it for this week. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see everybody back here next week. Until then, we are out. Thanks, everybody. Bye.